Go, go, go with a smile.
Well, you ask your co-host to do one job, especially when you're overcome with emotion. Oh, we lost the entertainment world. We'll get to racing in a minute. We've got to talk about the big topics Luke Donner made. The entertainment world lost one of its most creative, amazing participants in the great Prince last weekend. And I was over, he's my favourite singer. I was overcome with emotion. I asked you to organise one of his hits for the podcast. What the hell was that?
In the steam room, Shark, we give the people something different.
What the hell was that, mate?
That's a left of centre alternative Prince classic. I think Prince identified as a left of centre alternative person and had some funk. And in the steam room, we like that.
You could have picked any song. You could have picked any of his. He had more hits.
Everybody
he
else
hits on, hits on hits on hits on hits on hits. And you pick a crap little number from a movie that also sucked.
I bet some members of the Steam Room fan club, which, by the way, are called the Steampunks, sitting there, they're there and they're going,
why do I leave you alone with
your responsibility? I haven't heard that before. I haven't heard that. Thanks.
Why?
Thanks, Steam Room. I thought Sharky would have picked that.
Why do
but
I give
no.
you any responsibility? Why? Anyway. Anyway, that was Prince. We miss you, Prince. I'm wearing my love symbol around my neck as we speak in
and
an ongoing
else.
Tribute.
And nothing else.
And nothing else. Just a pair of purple velour tights, as would have been his want.
As his steam room custom?
Absolutely. It's a big week in racing coming up, mate. We've got good races in Adelaide and Brisbane as those carnivals get closer to Group 1 action. The
big
Group 1 Sangster Stakes next weekend, the Mother's Day weekend. So good to see the girls getting a Group 1 in Adelaide. And the features in Brisbane won't be far away. But continuing with the entertainment news theme, it has been a big week in local entertainment as well. Followers of Married at First Sight on Channel 9 got to learn the fate of the four couples.
They did.
Christy and Mark, Bryce and Erin, Xavier and Simone, and Claire and Jono. And the update program was on last night, and I gave you another task.
Which was to watch it.
And to watch it and to provide your thoughts.
And I did watch it.
Please be forthcoming.
I did watch it. The only thing I haven't got down totally are the names, though.
Right, I can help you with those.
But the opening...
You describe them.
My man, he looks... He had a little bit of, a Luke Carney look to him, but he had a bit of a Vanilla Ice hairdo.
That would be Xavier.
Xavier. I thought it was Mitchell Pearce. Anyway, he was, and his was trying, I suppose, not really caught because they're technically married. I couldn't
That's
gather.
Right. Simone is his wife.
Yep. Or not to give much away, it's sort of half.
What happened with that
half
couple?
Was.
What happened with that couple?
Well, Luke Carney was sort of more...
Xavier, for those Xavier. That actually watched the show.
Xavier. He sort of like he couldn't commit fully, and then when he tried to cook up the date, Shark...
What was his big mistake? Where did it all go wrong for Xavier?
I think taking the fiancé slash wife to see Shinji Ono and the Western Sydney Wanderers play, and they had way... The seats were, you know, nosebleed section.
That's
she wasn't into it.
Idea.
But in fairness to him, she... pretended as though she was sort of into it. And then...
It's ridiculous by her too.
Our buddy Xavier got sucked in and then eventually dumped over it. You know, he just had to hustle slightly, Shark.
Right, who's next? Bryce and Erin. Give me the lowdown on that loving couple.
Bryce
He's basically a Westie and he looks like a shaved sort of gopher of some description.
I think they were a strange little match. I didn't understand this matching process. They kept talking about like this deep psychological process. And they kept bringing out these psychologists that had that real weird metronome way of talking. They must love one another for life. It sort of freaked me out. Imagine going out with those. Anyway, somehow they cook up this strange little concoction. And I don't think it really worked.
How did it work for Bryce and Erin? What was
it? It didn't look like it worked, but it did work.
Okay.
You know, what did you think, Shark?
Erin, of course, famously is the one that said at her wedding when her friend asked if she was going to sleep with her new husband, she said, well, since no one can hear us... Yes, basically. And she's wearing a microphone on a TV show.
The Sharkaholic
so
herd.
She was clearly caught up in the romance of the situation. Let's get along to one of my personal faves, Christy and Mark. Christy was a failed DJ. Now she runs a cleaning business. And Mark, or Dr. Schnoz, as I like to call him, runs a farm somewhere in Gippsland. How do they fare?
I thought Dr. No, I'm not... I'm not going to say that. I thought he was a really nice, genuine guy. I liked him.
Yeah.
He was pure at heart.
Would you marry him?
Felt bad for him. Would I marry him? If I...
Would you go home with him for a one-nighter? Let's put it that way.
Not on first date, all right? I wouldn't marry him at first sight.
Okay. Maybe just first base and then see where it ends up.
Okay. I don't know, sure.
And how did they end up anyway?
They ended up, I believe, together. And one more thing, Shark, I just want to talk about.
You know there's a scandal about this too, these two?
No.
Woman's Day is reporting this week that Christy was spotted in Sydney having lunch and looking very comfortable
with
another man. And this was just days after tweeting that she might be pregnant or actually cooking something. Social media hadn't decided yet. So, some controversy there. What about the last couple, Claire, who had a chip on both shoulders, and Jono, the disinterested country footballer from Melbourne?
Well, I only caught the sort of... Because this couple weren't actually in this actual episode at all.
Because they broke
until
up
the
before
very end.
This episode.
And it seemed like she was asking quite a lot of our footballing friend, and he just didn't really seem to be into it. Shark, can you elaborate upon that?
Do you know where Claire lost him and probably lost control of her life?
I've got no idea, bud.
We got a little insight last night. She rescues dogs. And to me, they look like those weird puggle dogs that, you know, only people that have not a lot of mates tend to get.
In the steam room, we both own big dogs.
We own big dogs because this is the big dog steam room. It started to worry me when she dressed the dogs in human clothes. I realised she was beyond help when I saw her last night putting a nappy onto her newest dog. And
it's not right, is it?
In one word, how would you sum
up
that behaviour?
The dog doesn't it? Very strange, not eccentric, because it's not really, it's just imbecilic. Can we say that?
We can say imbecilic. So there's the review of the entertainment news in the week. Prince is dead. There's a theme to this show. Every time we talk about someone, they die. Hopefully that's not the case for any of the contestants on Married at First Sight.
Or Shinji Ono.
A massive fan of not only that tune, but on everything steamy in the steam room, backed by popular demand.
Completion!
We have to have that conversation about you interrupting me, Luke. It is Completion, the man otherwise known as Mitch Beer. Mitch, I think you're the first, you're pretty much the only guest we've ever had on this podcast, but you're the first one that's agreed to come back as well.
The first two-time guest.
I think that's special, don't you?
Back. By popular demand or distinct lack of other options.
That's right. Well, we sort of had a cancellation at the last minute. We'll get to later on. And we thought, who will be doing absolutely nothing on a Thursday afternoon and just waiting to answer a phone call from Mick Sharkey and Luke Donamate? And we both looked at each other and just said,
Completion!
And away we went.
I am your man. I'm your man.
Mate, Warrnambool, as you know, kicks off next week, and we wanted to have a bit of a chat, a bit of a look forward to Warrnambool. And of course, you're one of the great warriors, a veteran of many Warrnambool tours. Can you give any advice to the listeners about how to survive a Warrnambool week?
Well, I think it's more, it's almost become a pilgrimage to Warrnambool. I think it could only be described as a footy trip for senior blokes who don't mind getting cold, getting wet, and standing in ankle-high mud, having their last tenner on something in a 0 to 64 on a heavy 12. And if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what would. But I've been making the pilgrimage down to Warrnambool since I was about 16 years old, and started off pretty rough. We didn't have much money, staying at the Lady Bay Backpackers in Warrnambool for $16 a night.
It sounds gorgeous.
It is. It is. And to be honest, we haven't really upgraded much in the last few years. Stick with winning form. So myself and a few mates, we've lost a few along the way due to engagements and work commitments, but there's still a small number of us that make the pilgrimage down to Warrnambool, and we certainly wouldn't miss it for anything.
Have you got a good Warrnambool story for us of a big win or a good night out on the tile? Something that you look back on and just think, gee, I'm glad I survived that.
Oh, a few years ago, we were down and out, as most people in Warrnambool are, and we pulled together and we've had our last on Jungle Ruler.
Oh.
And he's got home, and I still to this day, he's spoken very highly in our group of friends. Got home, got the money, so we've hit the town, painted the town red. But before we left the Lady Bay Backpackers, there was three bunk beds in the room, total of six single beds, and only four of us. So we've gone out all night and rolled home at some ungodly hour of the morning to find that there's two new additions in our room at Warrnambool, one being a 180-kilo redhead man who had decided to strip off, crawl into our bed, and was absolutely stark as red eagle wrapped up in my duvet pillow that I bought.
That's perfect.
So once the laughing had ceased, I soon realised that it's about -4 degrees. Everyone else had laughed themselves to sleep, and I've got nothing, no options but to sleep in the car and wait for the sun to come up and deal with it in the morning. And to wake up with that sort of hangover and with a distinct lack of sleep, it wasn't a great Thursday at Warrnambool, I can tell you that.
And what about the doona? The doona you bought from home, obviously taking it down there for a bit of comfort, from home,
yeah,
for the long week.
There was no amount of industrial cleaning that was ever going to make that doona right again. And I reckon it's still on the side of the road about 20 kilometres out of Warrnambool somewhere.
And you said a large red-headed fella. Did the carpet match the drapes?
I didn't look south enough to find out, Sharky, but I'm tipping he hadn't made any visits to Brazilian Butterfly in the months leading up to Warrnambool.
Oh, no. Well, I guess that's one of the good things of the week, isn't it, mate? There's always a story to be had down there. You never know what's waiting for you around the next corner and what state of inebriation they might be in when you meet them.
No, it's far from the glitz and the glamour down at Warrnambool, but arguably it's as fun as the spring carnival. So for anyone that's heading down to Warrnambool for their first time, I'm sure it won't be your last.
Now, you haven't got any horses going down yourself next week. Have you spotted anything around the tracks that you think is worth following up at the Bull? Or a trainer that you know likes to pull a rort down there?
Well, I think if Gilchrist is heading down, you can't beat winning form for the boys at Grand Syndicates. I'd love to see him get the coin down there. But punt locals. Keep punting, never give up till the last on Thursday, and you might be able to claw yourself back.
And gamble and consume alcohol responsibly.
Always.
Of course. Completion, thanks for joining us again this week. Who knows? We might even get you back on in the near future.
Yeah, bloody oath. And I'd say at this stage I'd like to label myself as the carryover champion and not the guy on the bench.
Now, before we go, mate, Lukey and I have just been talking, did some work on the progeny of Helmet this week. He's flying in the UK. We had a little article on G1X about it yesterday, and we've done some homework, rung some trainers, and although he's only had a handful of runners in Australia, everybody seems to think that they've got one by the stallion that goes well. Are you a subscriber to that belief? Have you got one that goes well?
I've got a yearling that I just purchased off the back of a really nice two-year-old filly that I've got at home, who I've given a couple of gallops to, and I've got a really good opinion of her. So she's just gone to the paddock, but I can't wait to see her back at the races next time in.
What's her name there, Completion?
Polisher.
Well, that was some colour and movement from our good friend Mitch Beer, and it's fair to say that that's the level of entertainment we expect from Mitch going forward, LD.
And also we expect from a platinum award-winning podcast, Shark.
That's right. Are we now platinum?
We've gone platinum, mate.
And you can hear us in three states.
Three states. But you can't hear us on iTunes, Shark.
We'll rectify that.
We'll rectify
that
immediately.
I love that Warrnambool story of the half-shaven red-haired Yeti that he found starkers in his bed on the doona that his mum gave him for his 21st before kicking him out of home. Yeah. I thought that was a really good story. Have you got a really good Warrnambool story, Luke?
I went to Warrnambool once. I'm not going to say this story is really good and potentially not factual, I'm pretty sure. Was it early hours?
Don't worry about facts. Let's worry about that when we judge the strength of your story.
Okay, so I was working for Simon Beasley when I was about 19.
Simon Beasley, the bookmaker?
The great bookmaker.
What were you doing for Simon Beasley?
Leading goal kicker for the Western Bulldogs. So I was working in just small sort of media little role, basically as ghostwriter. But I went down to Warrnambool just to get on the bag. Hold the bag, take some bets, whatever.
Yep.
With a guy called, and we ended up going out that night with a guy called Matt Cosgrove, who I believe now works at Ladbrokes.
Yeah.
Good guy. Really good guy. Anyway.
So you were on the bag.
So we're there, and then Matt Cosgrove goes,
bets.
Similar to what our friend Mitch just said, it's sort of like a rite of passage.
Riding
just
in the go B-book.
Out. You know, if you sort of go home, you get shamed.
So yeah, shamed if you go home.
We get shamed if you go home. So we went out. We were out till, quite late, about as late as I'd been out for at that point in
how late?
In my life.
Are we talking? 6 a.m. Are we talking the sun's up?
Sun's up. Bakery's open.
Where were you drinking at 6 a.m. at Warrnambool?
This little upstairs place. I can't even tell you. You probably know.
The Whalers Hotel?
Yeah, it's upstairs.
Yeah, anyway, upstairs.
So we come down.
I own that dance floor, by the way. Keep going.
Yeah. And then we were looking at the at the bakery, and we saw a statue of a jockey in there.
Statue, silhouette.
No, it's this guy had a jockey's stature, and it may not have been.
Did you say statue or stature?
A stature.
So you saw the silhouette, you saw the frame of a small man, and you assumed that he was a jockey.
No, well, I could see he was a jockey.
I'm just trying to establish facts here because this story is pretty loose on entertainment.
We're going 10 years back, all right? And we thought it may have been Darren Gauchy, okay?
Hang on, what was he doing in the bakery?
Eating, 6 a.m.
But it might have just been track work.
Could have been. Anyway, we get back to the stand.
You sure he didn't see me?
Darren Gauchy's on the first favourite.
Yeah.
And we sort of said to Simon Huff, I think we saw Darren out only about 3 hours ago. And he's pulled us aside and says, are you two serious? I have to know now, are you serious? And we're sort of half in and out. Anyways,
well, you're still drunk,
yes.
Really, from the night before.
And I believe the favourite got rolled and we were heroes.
So,
that's
now, are you sure it was Darren Gauchy?
I'm not sure.
There you go. 100% fact, a first-person account.
I've only been at Warrnambool once, Dottomay. Right? That's all I got. I've only been there one time.
Darren Gauchy drunk and nude in a local bakery at 6 a.m. Beaten on the favourite the next day. Unbelievable. Well, that's a great tip that you were able to give your boss, Simon Beasley, on that occasion. Have you got a great tip to give to the loyal Steam Room steampunks?
I want to talk about last week's tip quickly, real love.
Oh, God.
Because we're all about real love. About purple
about
rain, purple love, purple sharks.
Yeah.
Anyway, real love. Purple just got beaten. I told you Dan Weir was a master trainer of stage, which is a big call.
Yeah.
Since he just won a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
Anyway, our friend Real Love was beaten by a lip by Dr. Kerr. And I happened to see a story that reminded me of Dr. Kerr during the week.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
This was the headline. Dutch horror dentist jailed in France.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about a dentist.
Jacobus van Nierop.
Van Nierop. And our friend Van Nierop, or not our friend, he's actually an enemy of the Steam Room, the first enemy we've ever announced at the Steam Room, who was up for 85 counts of assault for mangling the mouths of over 100 people. And he has had 61 counts of fraud against his patient.
Have you mangled anyone's mouth, Luke?
I've never mangled anyone's mouth.
Never patched anyone with braces and did some tongue shredding?
Don't think so, Shark. Have you?
What do you think Terry Bailey would do in this situation?
Terry Bailey. Well, the argument from Van Nierop's lawyer was basically, hey, hold on. My guy's got no idea what he's doing. He's not evil. He just has absolutely no clue. So what would Terry Bailey say to that defence? I've got no clue, sir.
This is the most roundabout way of getting to a tip that I've ever heard. Can you please give us the winner for the weekend? We don't want to know about Judge Van Nierop.
You ready for this tip?
Psychopathic dentist.
You ready for this tip?
Who eats children's baby teeth.
Caulfield, race 7, number 2. Unbreakable. He's got Craig Williams aboard. He's of the Mighty Godolphin stable, headed by trainer John O'Shea. And ran second a fortnight ago over a mile at Caulfield. 58.5 kgs on the back. Set to go one better, Shark.
There you go. Race 7, number 2, Unbreakable at Caulfield. Well, I'm going to stick with, well, it's what you call yourself when you get out and about, or what you used to back in those Warrnambool days of partying and carrying on. Hawkesbury, race 5, number 3, Rock for the Ladies. Because, Lukey boy...
That's what we do in the steam room.
You were a rock for the ladies back then. Mate, it's been a pleasure, in to some capacity anyway, joining you again this week. Have you had fun?
Steam out, Shark.
Good afternoon.